Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Andy, what's up, brother?
What's up, homie?
Let's get it on in here to the sweet sounds of TP, Tom Petty.
Oh, man. So, Tom Petty.
Two Peas on a Podcast.
That's what it is.
Episode 45,
hey,
I
TP.
Think. Let me refer to my
Tom
notes.
Tom Petty, Two Peas.
Hey, look at there.
You know, we are cosmically linked to you, Tom. Brother, thank you for your music.
We will get into that pretty deep here in just a second at the top of the show. But rest in peace, Tom Petty. They're running down a dream, brother.
That never would come to me.
Well,
working on a mystery, going wherever it leads.
The dream comes to me, brother, every week when you show up.
Yeah?
Dream comes to me, my friend.
Really?
I can't relate, Tom. I apologize. I have a dream every Wednesday when you walk in the door.
Oh, thanks, brother.
They call it hump day for a reason, brother.
Whoa. Hey, whoa,
let's goodness, move on bro. To the next time. All right, so welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast.
All
I'll phase out Tom. We will definitely get into him a little bit later, though. And
phasing out Tom. It's too soon, Gerald. Too soon.
Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 45. Yeah. Okay. Gerald is here.
Andy.
Andy's here. We got a new format this week.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
I just want to tell all of our regular listeners real quick.
Both of them? You haven't talked to both of them this week?
Talked to all four of them real quick. I haven't told them individually yet. We're going to have a quick entertainment news portion in the beginning, which we'll get into here in a second after our intro.
Yep.
Then we're going to have what we're going to be calling our pee break for the first time ever. So we're going to do a featured pod friend of the week, and we're going to take a little break from the chatter and feature a podcaster that I or yourself or both of us love. And we'll pump them up. I got a little fun questionnaire that I do with those guys, and we're featuring More Gooder Than this week. So we'll be talking to him a little bit later, Chris from More Gooder Than.
Absolutely. And just in case one of us needs to actually relieve themselves, that'd be
a good time for our pee break. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure Chris wouldn't mind that. That's why he did it. You know? Let all your listeners take a piss while I'm talking about what I like.
Okay, there you go.
And then we'll have what we call one deep topic. So, you know, what we ran into a lot of times, and it was a disadvantage to us too, is that we just had so many topics we want to talk about.
Yes.
Because so much stuff happens, especially in Trump's America. You know, and it's just like you can't get through it all in an hour and a half.
Yeah, we want to give it our attention. We want to not rush through anything, especially when it comes to these deeper topics that we want to give our time to, our attention to, and actually maybe not only help each other by talking this out, but also maybe give you out there some things to think about as well. So
yeah, of course.
We just want to pay a little more attention.
Devote more time to it and be more invested in the one topic that is arguably the biggest of that week.
Yes.
So we'll be getting to that. We'll be calling that segment our one deep topic. And then at the very end, we will have some pop culture fun stuff, you know, 10 minutes or so to wrap us up. We'll still do the loop because people love when I throw you for a loop.
They do?
So we'll still
do that. You guys love the loop out there?
And I personally
love. Who doesn't like the loop?
I personally love when you do the final thoughts. We're going to keep that as well.
You don't even listen to the final
thoughts. I don't listen to it. That's why I like it so much.
This is my pee break.
I'm just kidding. Okay, my pee break. My personal pee break. All right, Andy, how's the week, man? Let's do our little quick intro.
I got to tell you, I walked into Gerald's house today, our office, if you will, and he has decorated for Halloween. My family and I decorated for Halloween this past Sunday. Love it. Love fall. It's cooling down in the morning and at night. The leaves are starting to change.
Yes.
That's what's happening this week, brother. Halloween on its way.
That's true.
Tricks or treats and cats and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Love it, brother.
I'm even drinking out of a Jack Skellington coffee mug today.
Yes, and I'm drinking out of a Wicked.
And you got Wicked over there, the Wicked Witch on the front there. She's hot. The selfie from Wicked. Sorry.
You just can't wait.
Oh, hot witches do it for
me. We might change the format, folks, but just to let you know, Gerald will never stop getting creepy.
The creepy. I should have said that. The creepiest is going nowhere.
Hey, it's Halloween, though. It's Halloween month, so you can be creepy all month.
Absolutely, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I was going to mention besides the Halloween decks are up, and I love it, man. It's a little crisp in the air.
Oh, crisp, fall crisp. Cool.
Ooh. It's supposed to get a little warmer, though, this weekend. But whatever. In the morning, it feels good. I open the door. It's like I'm freezing. My nipples are hard. You know, it's great.
Just to give you folks a mental image.
The only other thing I wanted to mention about my week that was a big highlight is my son is officially potty trained. We talked about it last week. He's there, man. He is there, brother. He is. He's taking pee breaks now.
Yes. Logan in the house.
He inspired me to name
in the bathroom.
New
I guess,
segment,
which is also in the house.
Yeah, he's going to
the house.
You
know, congratulations. That's a big deal.
It is, man.
Gerald, hang in there. One day it'll happen for you.
He inspired me. I gotta figure this out. I gotta stop shitting myself. But anyway, he's stopping up the toilet too, by the way. Did I tell you that?
Good for him.
Dude, he's stopping up toilets.
Wow. Yeah, not just potty trained, but really his like, okay, is, doing it. Taking, yeah.
Next level potty trained, buddy. So I'm very proud of Logan there.
Well
he's
done,
doing good,
Logan.
Man.
Doing well good. Done, Logan.
All right. So let's get into some topics here, brother, for our first segment for the entertainment. Entertainment stuff. A couple tough ones to start us out with.
Okay.
I know we try to keep it light in the beginning, so I apologize, but a couple big stories. First of all, we opened with Tom Petty there, Running Down a Dream.
Tom Petty.
Yeah, well, I'll get your impression, just get your memories of old Tom there, but rest in peace, Tom Petty. Yeah. Passed away a few days ago. He's 66 years old.
Not old at all.
As a victim 66. Of cardiac arrest out there in Los Angeles where he lives.
Okay.
What's your favorite memory, songs, anything of Tom Petty?
Well, first
Petty?
Of all, I want to say that we've lost a couple, you know, a handful of artists and musicians over the last year. You know, we lose artists and musicians all the time, but this past year, it seems a little more concentrated for some reason.
It does, yeah.
Tom Petty hit me a little harder than most because... You know, we listen to music because it speaks to us. Like the vibration of the music like harmonizes with the vibration of who we are.
Right.
You know, that's why when you're angry, you want angry music. When you're sad, you want sad music for the same reason.
Right.
Tom Petty and his music, for me, was perfect.
Yeah.
Every Tom Petty song just reaches in there and it just touches me in a place and deeply in my humanity. Tom is an amazing artist.
Absolutely.
And I honestly love all of his music.
What's great about Tom Petty for me personally that I wanted to mention on the show today, I may have told you this at some point in the past, or I may have even actually mentioned on the show before, but what was cool, there's a couple things I want to say about Tom Petty.
Yeah.
What was cool about him is I always had that connection with my parents. My parents love Tom Petty. Yeah. They introduced me to Tom Petty.
Tom Petty's
same thing with Bob Seger. So whenever I hear Bob
Another Seger, great American rock and roller.
Absolutely.
You know, The Boss, Seger, Cougar Mellencamp.
It incorporates like that kind of like folk rock and blues kind of
always has
feel
a strong
and
always has a strong backbeat to it.
Yeah,
talks about what it is to be an American and live in this society. And yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So anyway, those two artists specifically, I always kind of think about because my parents introduced me to them, and you know my mom's still around, so she still loves them.
Yeah,
and my dad did his whole life.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it was just a great connection I had with them. But the other thing about Tom Petty was really cool from like as a songwriter is that. And I listened to him all day yesterday.
Me too.
I know you
Me
said
too.
You did too.
Absolutely. I had a live album of like 40 songs.
Oh, did you?
All this live Tom Petty music. And you realize, amazing.
So I was cleaning up yesterday. And I was basically just listening to Tom Petty for like 2 or 3 hours yesterday.
Absolutely.
And what I realized is that he had this kind of knack for writing songs that were very familiar.
That's the perfect word for his music. Familiar.
They had hooks.
Yes.
And they had...
Yeah.
They were almost all of them were radio friendly.
Yeah, I won't
all
back
of
down.
You can sing
Here
to.
Comes my girl.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
It's
every
like
single
you,
one. Yes.
It's
she,
like you,
she does belong among the wildflowers.
Right. It's like you had heard it before, but you never have.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
everyone
it just has
familiar.
A sense of familiarity.
It's his writing style. I mean, some people can write very mysteriously and poetically. You think about Robert Plant and Led Zeppelin. Some people can write very simply and just tell a story. Tom Petty had the ability to do both.
Yeah.
It's almost like he bled music. Like, and I watched a great. I would recommend it on Netflix, Running Down a Dream.
Yeah, you told me
3-hour documentary about Tom Petty. You don't realize how much great stuff this guy did and with him in the music industry. But another artist said about him, it's almost like he just pulls it down from somewhere. He can write a song in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It just comes out of him.
And they did the Traveling Wilburys with Bob,
Bob
Dylan and George
absolutely.
Harrison.
Absolutely. Handle Me With Care.
Absolutely, brother. Just great catalog of music. Like I said, I was listening to it all day yesterday. I have fortunate enough to have a lot of music of his in my catalog. Go back and listen to your Tom Petty, guys. He's a great songwriter.
Oh, yeah, man.
An American staple there that is gone way too soon, 66 years old. All right, the other...
Tom is great.
Well,
thank you, Tom.
That's a tough one. Yeah. Rest in peace. But you're going to love this one, brother.
Okay. Wow, you're switching gears pretty quick, huh?
I'm assuming you heard, but the NFL is in talks with Justin Timberlake to be the performer at this year's Super Bowl halftime show.
Don't tempt me.
You saw that,
Don't dangle it in front of me so like candy.
Don't do it. You love it.
Not unless you mean it, Jerry.
You love it.
Not unless you mean it.
It says, according to Us Weekly, the NFL has invited Justin back to perform at next year's Super Bowl halftime show.
Would be his third time.
That's right. Yep.
Him and NSYNC performed with Britney Spears and Aerosmith.
Yeah, what the fuck was
and
Aerosmith
And then he
doing
performed
there?
With Janet, the famous wardrobe malfunction.
The old nip slip.
Yes.
Which I had right before you got over here today.
It makes sense because he's been on tour for his last album. His tour is, by the way, I saw it twice, amazing.
Is it good?
This guy can do everything. I'm in.
My favorite thing about you is nip slips. When you wear the V-neck, your nip comes out. It's my favorite thing about the show.
Gerald, let's stay on topic, Gerald.
That is topic, brother. Okay, we're talking about Janet Jackson's nip slip. Her wardrobe malfunction.
So what do you think? Is this just talks? Do you think he'll say? I mean, how can you say no, right?
I mean, I think it's Justin. It might also include Jay-Z, which was ironic.
Don't be scared, girl. It's just Justin.
Which was ironic because I had read. Now, Jay-Z didn't make a statement, so let's just say that this could be speculation or whatever. In fact, it may have been something like TMZ or something like that. But Jay-Z declined to be the featured act for the Super Bowl because of the whole Colin Kaepernick controversy. And
featured act meaning that
I guess they asked him to do it.
Okay.
And he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Interesting.
But now the report is that he may be part of Justin, so I assume maybe they'll do suit and tie or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. And he has two songs on his last album.
I love both those artists, but JT's one of our favorites,
Yes.
So anyway, Super Bowl, hey, tune in. Hey, maybe it'll be JT. Maybe we'll get another snip slip. Who should he get up there with him besides Janet? We already saw Janice. Let's get...
Gerald, who hasn't seen Janice?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about women's nipples. That's not gentlemanly, is it?
I guess not.
That's creepy. That's what I do. All right, last thing I'm going to mention on our first new segment here for the entertainment stuff is... did you ever see the David S. Pumpkins skit on Saturday Night Live?
I didn't. What I hate is that everyone's talking about it now, and I'm like, where have I been?
It blew up, brother.
When was it? When was his first
David S. Pumpkins? It was last Halloween.
Okay.
It was last year.
I need to start paying attention to
this time last year on SNL, he was the host, Tom Hanks. I should tell everyone I'm talking about Tom Hanks. But Tom Hanks played this character, David S. Pumpkins. It was it was really silly and stupid, which was the idea, but he was dressed in a pumpkin suit. And he was in this, the idea was it was like a haunted house theme ride or whatever.
Okay.
And as couples were like Tower of Terror kind of thing.
Okay.
And as they come out of like this really scary elevator, there's just this weird David S. Pumpkins guy. And he just gets in their face and he's like, any questions?
That's awesome.
All he says. And it was
Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks can do anything.
Yeah, it was great.
Tom Hanks can do anything.
It was a huge meme. It went viral.
Okay.
And people started dressing up as David S. Pumpkins for Halloween. Well, anyway, the reason I bring it up is NBC. NBC has announced a Halloween-themed animated special that's going to star Tom Hanks. Also going to star Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones. But it's, let's see here. The official synopsis of the show is it's set in a small suburban town on All Hallows Eve.
Okay, of course.
The special centers around David Pumpkins and his skeleton sidekicks who show a young boy and his sister the true meaning of Halloween, answering none of their questions along the way.
That's awesome. Is this going to happen this year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's already October. What's the day?
It's airing October 28th.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I believe is a Saturday, so it's going to be airing right before SNL.
On NBC?
Yeah, NBC. Absolutely.
Because I guess that's SNL's station.
Yeah, man. Okay. NBC. October 28th.
Dude, I'm stoked.
David S. Pumpkins. It's Welcome hilarious, back. Man. It's hilarious.
I got to check
you
it
gotta
out.
You got to go watch this.
I'm going to go watch it.
It's one of those that's like so stupid. But you remember the first time you saw Night at the Roxbury where they're bobbing the heads?
Yeah.
I mean, that was stupid, right?
Yeah.
But it turned into like a phenomena.
Interesting.
You know?
I kind of feel the same way.
Along the same lines.
I kind of feel the same way about our podcast and talking to you each week.
People listen to this, but it's so
At
stupid.
First, I'm like talking to Gerald. I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous. But over time, I'm like, you know what? This is really this is not too bad.
It's really stupid.
Okay.
Why are people listening? All right, that's it, guys. This is our first quick segment there for entertainment news. Okay. We stayed on time. We're doing good. We're off to a good start here for our new format.
Okay, wonderful.
So we do have to get deep, Andy, our one deep topic. But before we do that, our first ever pee break. I'm really excited about the name I came up with there. I pat myself on the
brilliant.
Back.
Brilliant. It's very, I said it earlier, it's very Tom Petty. Because it's simple, yet you're like, familiar.
Yeah, almost did pee-pee break.
Like, no, don't.
Two pees, you know what I mean? But I was like, that's too much.
That's too much.
I tried too hard.
That's too much.
So do you need to pee? Because now's a good time.
I'm good.
All right, so let's listen.
Thanks for having me.
Our featured pod friend of the week is More Gooder Than. They're repped by Chris Brayton. Here's our first ever pee break. We'll be back on the flip side for our deep topic, Andy. Sit tight, brother.
Sounds good.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, for this week's featured pod friend of the week, during our pee break segment, we have Chris Brayton from More Gooder Than, and it's time for his 10 rapid fire questions. This isn't one of the questions, Chris, but are you ready?
My body is ready.
Not sure about your mind, but your body's ready. I'll take it. All right, here we go, man. 10 rapid fire questions. I want the people to get to know you a little bit better. Here we go. What celebrity annoys you the most, Chris Brayton?
It's Joe Buck. I cannot stand Joe Buck.
What store do you shop at the most?
Winco Foods.
Love it.
Every week.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Easy one. What is your favorite Halloween costume?
My favorite costume, when I dressed up as Walter from The Big Lebowski.
All right, let's see. If you could add someone's favorite face to Mount Rushmore, who would it be?
We'd go with my wife. I want my wife up on Mount Rushmore.
That is so sweet. Morning, afternoon, or night?
Morning.
Me too. The last band or artist that you listened to?
Alt-J.
Love it.
This morning.
What color is your toothbrush?
White.
Okay. If you could trade lives with anyone for one day, who would it be, Chris Brayton?
I would trade it with Bill Gates.
I don't blame you. Get some of that money. And the last thing, which is what I'm going to ask everyone during this rapid-fire segment, describe your podcast in three words only. Just give us three words to describe More Gooder Than.
Movies, laughter, friendship.
I love it. Guys, that's Chris Brayton. You can find him on More Gooder Than. All the information will be in the show notes. Chris, thanks for being the featured pod friend of the week this week, brother.
Thank you too, man. I love you.
I love you too, man. Welcome back in, guys, from your pee break. Hope you enjoyed that. Gerald and Andy here, episode, what is this? What did I say?
40-something.
That's how I feel every week.
Yeah, 40.
45. 45, okay. Our pee break.
Yeah.
We're back from it.
That's an amazing song.
Get to go to the restroom.
That's an amazing song you just played.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's a line in that song. It's one of my, Ray LaMontagne is one of my favorite artists. He is very dark, and it's a dark topic.
It's
fitting for what we're about to talk about. But he, you know, his themes are often pain, suffering, death. And there's a line in the song, the name of the song is Empty, that says, I looked my demons in the eye, laid bare my chest, and said, do your best to destroy me.
Yeah.
You see, I've been to hell and back so many times, to tell the truth, you kind of bore me.
Yep.
And that's such an echo of what it is to be alive. We always talk about hell as this existential thing away from us, but we're living in a reality of pain and suffering, and that we've been in this world so long that, you know, sometimes we think what could be worse.
Yeah.
You know, or what could be better. You know, we're surrounded by it.
I was talking to my wife last night, and I'm like, you know, I knew we were going to have this new format. I wanted to have a song to lead into our deep topic every week that'll be kind of symbolic. And I'm like, what do I do? You know, by the way, I should tell everyone, our one deep topic this week is the tragedy in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas mass shooting. So we're going to get into that pretty detailed, I would assume. But, you know, I'm like, what song can I play to kind of lead into whatever the topic
that
may
does
be?
It justice?
Right.
That speaks to it, how we feel right now.
And I'm Googling, like, you know, songs with Vegas in the title and, you know, Viva Las Vegas and all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, and I just happen to, as I'm scrolling through my Apple Music, Ray LaMontagne comes up. And I'm like, you know what? This guy's super depressing. He's super dark.
Especially this album. Which album is this?
This is off of Till the Sun Turns Black.
Till the Sun Turns Black. This is off his second album. Arguably his darkest album.
No, it really was. It really was.
With the exception of Empty.
With the exception of Three More Days on that album, every song's just like,
The question that the song asks in the chorus is, will I always feel this way?
Yeah.
So empty.
Right, exactly.
You know? I always feel this way? And when tragedy strikes, in the wake, we often ask ourselves, and this is not just when tragedy strikes, we ask ourselves this question all the time, will I always feel this way?
Right.
Will I always feel this way? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, much like Tom Petty, just an amazing songwriter.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, his songs are, now, you know, we joke around about them being depressing and dark and everything, but I mean, they are true poetry.
Yeah.
But anyway, the line that made me kind of choose this song for the Vegas discussion, I never learned to count my blessings. I chose instead to dwell in my disasters. I think it's safe to say what happened in Vegas is a disaster.
I never did. Yeah, okay.
And when I'm listening to that song and I heard that word, that line, I'm like, I'm going to use this song.
Yeah.
It kind of spoke to what we're, and you do feel empty when this shit happens.
And so we don't want to run from it. We don't want to run from our disasters.
No.
We want to look our demons in the eye and learn from them and understand them.
Go ahead. I'm going to turn you loose over there, Andy. Okay. But before I do, just to let everyone know, if you've been under a rock or if you don't follow the news very closely, there was that horrible incident on Sunday evening. It was a country music festival in downtown Los Angeles or Las Vegas, right off the strip. And there was a mass shooting from the 32nd floor. What was the hotel?
Mirage?
I want to say the Mirage, but I don't know if that was what it was. But anyway, from the 32nd floor of one of the hotels there, right overlooking the concert venue. 59 people to date have passed away from the shooting. Over 500 have been injured. It's a new record. The largest mass shooting in U.S. history.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to mention, I'm sure this will turn into a gun discussion at one point or another, If I have anything to do with it, it will. But this is the second time that record has been broken in a year and a half.
What was the last time?
Pole shooting. 49 people, mm-hmm. Yep. So Stephen Paddock was the shooter. He's been ID'd. He lived in Mesquite, Nevada. He was a frequent gambler and visitor to Las Vegas. Some other topics that we'll get into here. But before we get into details of him and you know, the gun control stuff and what, how did you feel? I saw your YouTube video. You mm-hmm. did a Facebook, mm-hmm. not related to the show or whatever. You just, you know, put it out there to kind of, in my opinion, try to comfort people. It comforted me a little bit. Monday, I'm watching the news. I don't have a job. Did I tell people that? I tell people that every week. But I don't have a job still. I'm going to be hopefully starting one in a couple of weeks. But nevertheless, I'm home mm-hmm. you know, most of the day, so I'm watching the news and TV and everything. And, of course, I'm watching the news on Monday. And, of course, that's all they talk about because it happened Sunday night.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out why he did it, trying to figure out the mm-hmm. motive, talking to survivors, you know, so on and so forth. So the whole, I mean, and they didn't even break for, you know, how they'll go to their midday shows and yeah. they'll do the talk shows and the soaps. No. They didn't, it was all Vegas all day on Monday.
Yeah.
So I'm literally in my house crying. I mean, I'm watching yeah. the stories from the survivors and them giving their recounts of what happened yeah. and mm-hmm. people shielding them from bullets that they felt fall lifeless behind them and people dying in their arms as they're in the truck trying to get to the hospital. I mean, just all kinds of shit. Teachers, yeah. You know, first responders that were off duty that went to the show as a customer. I mean, horrible, but you know, that's a no-brainer that you feel horrible when you yeah. see something like that. Using your video a little bit and kind of, you know, the emotion that you had there and kind of your I know it wasn't your initial reaction, but like you said, you had time to reflect on yeah. it. What was your initial reaction? I mean, I did, when I texted you Sunday night, mm-hmm. was that the first time or had you seen?
I think I had just heard about it either through you or right before you talked to me or you reached out to me.
Right.
I had just heard about it. And interestingly enough, the initial reaction, and this is part of the issue and the plague in our country right now and really all over, but specifically, you know, we want to put a magnifying glass on our country because of it's becoming all too regular. Is that the initial reaction is, oh, another shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. I hate it that my initial reaction is, oh, comma, pause, another shooting. Because we're not as surprised anymore. Yeah. And we always should be a bit surprised when this level of violence happens anywhere to mm-hmm. anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's becoming the norm.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we need to get into, I believe, is that it's becoming the norm. But after that, I remember watching a couple of the responses, and there was a lot of responses from talk show hosts, which is interesting that
right. late night hosts.
These comedy shows,
right.
from what's going on in our country, it's almost as if everyone with the platform or anyone with the platform, they can't become silent anymore. It's like these individuals have to say something about it. And I understand. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel mentioned that I don't like starting the show like this.
Right.
I don't like talking about these things, but what else can we do?
Yeah, and Stephen Colbert had a similar. He was like, this is a comedy show.
Yeah.
And not to interrupt you,
no,
but
no, no,
it
please,
goes,
please,
it goes
please
to what
do.
You're saying, because I didn't send you this one.
Please
I don't know
do.
If you saw it, but Conan O'Brien, they interviewed him. He was actually already scheduled to be interviewed by like Variety or somebody like that. And they're doing an interview like the day after this happened and the day after he talked about it on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I'm a late night comedian.
Yeah.
I'm not a politician. I'm not extremely religious.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk about
this
mass
is not
shootings.
Supposed to be my job.
I'm a comedy.
Yeah. I'm
host.
Supposed to make light of things and help you to I'm supposed yeah. to uplift you.
And something he said that spoke volumes to me is that when he went into work on Monday, the day after, you know, like you said, all the late night hosts addressed it, which I mean, I'm okay with that. They should.
Yeah.
It's the elephant
you
in the room. I mean,
you
yeah,
can't
exactly.
ignore it.
You can't ignore it because that would be worse than saying something about it. But Conan goes in and, you know, they're prepping him for the show and they're like, okay, you know, we're going to do a couple minute statement in the beginning of the show about Vegas, you know, whatever you would like to say about it. Here's a file of all the things that you've said about mass shootings in this country. So a late night comedian has
a file
on statements made for
mass shootings.
A comedian.
That's how prevalent it's become. But I remember Jimmy Kimmel, to get back to that point, Jimmy Kimmel said, was mentioning the senators, or the congressmen?
Yeah.
The senators? One
Both.
Or the other?
Yep.
Who had voted recently or recently for different laws like trying to make acquiring silencers
yep.
a little
on.
Bit
yep.
easier.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned something that really got to me. And mm-hmm. this was the place where I broke down, you know, and it was already building up.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentioned that and something about, and God forgive them, or God forgive us for what's going on. And that's really
mm-hmm.
the tragedy of it all, that my initial reaction was like, wow, I can't believe we're doing this to each other.
Right.
I can't believe that we are allowing this to happen and right. that, you know, we haven't gotten there yet. And of course, after that, and we'll get into this, I'm sure you want to get into this. After that, I start analyzing because that's just how my mind works.
Yeah.
And breaking it down and seeing how to understand this, how to view this from the highest perspective and therefore move us forward.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I think, what we want to get into.
You know, just a couple of highlights, if you will, of mm-hmm. the responses after.
Low lights, actually.
Well, yeah, that we have to make the comments at all. But, you know, as the president, I'll just mention, you know, Trump's initial statements, you know, he called it an act of pure evil, which, you know, I mean, sure. Yeah, I agree with that. He also said warmest condolences to the victims, which everybody thought was kind of weird.
let's put this point blank. Everything Trump says is weird in these contexts,
right?
Because you can't take it out of the context of what he usually says. He spends so much of his time in an egotistical tirade,
right?
That when he stops and pauses, even if he does mean it, it almost seems shallow and hollow because you can't act one way all the time and then try to reach out.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's, and that's just me being petty and personal.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just,
and I wanted to,
that's just what it is.
And I wanted to mention a couple of the performers that were there when it happened. Jason Aldean,
he was on stage, right?
Yeah. He's okay. A famous country musician. He was actually performing when the fire, shots rang out and he ended his song abruptly and went backstage, obviously. He says, quote, "Over the last 24 hours, I have gone through lots of emotions, scared, anger, heartache, compassion, and many others.
I'm sure he felt also, no, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm sure he also felt a certain amount of guilt. I'm sure also guilt.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
To continue, he says, I truly don't understand why a person would want to take the life of another person. Something has changed in this country and in this world lately that is scary to see. This world is becoming the kind of place I am afraid to raise my children in."
Mm-hmm. I think that's a sentiment shared by a lot of individuals.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that sentiment. Caleb Keeter is a guitarist for Jason Aldean, who was also performing on stage at the time.
Okay.
He says, quote, "I've been a proponent of the Second Amendment my entire life until the events of last night."
Interesting.
"I cannot express how wrong I was. We actually have members of our crew with handgun licenses and legal firearms on the bus. They were useless," unquote.
They were useless.
Yep. So, you know, I mean, we'll get into this because mm-hmm. it fucking drives me insane.
yeah.
Especially like on social media when I get wrapped into reading some of these comments from right wingers and stuff and Second Amendment piece.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the arguments, and we'll get into this if you want now, it's fine. But one of the arguments will be the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And we can't limit guns because in a situation where crazy people are going to get guns regardless, so we need the good people to have guns too. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the arguments. You're looking at me crazy, but I mirror your face right now.
So,
but that
so
is one of the
there's
arguments.
There's a group of, and this is part of our, you know, fear drives fear mentality or anger drives anger mentality. So if there's a group of individuals marching with torches, and they're angry or they're afraid of change and they're expressing that, are you telling me the best thing for us to do is march toward them with torches and be equally as angry? You think that's going to solve anything?
Not at all. Let's get into the... Okay. All right. So, well, what I want to say...
Okay.
Let me start this way, okay?
Okay.
It was a mass shooting, obviously. 59 people died. Yes. Over 500 injured.
Yeah.
Okay. So it could have been a lot worse, but I mean, either way, that's, you know, over 500 people affected here. So mass shootings in the U.S. is an ongoing problem, okay? If you don't see that, then you're literally lying to yourself. We were talking about the late night host. Mm-hmm. Something interesting that came from James Corden, the British host that does a late show.
Yeah.
That I didn't even know, and I Googled for authenticity, but he says 11,600 people have died in the U.S. from gun violence in the last 275 days, which is less than a year.
275 days.
Yep. Less than a year, almost 12,000 people from guns. You know, I've got a list of the mass shootings here. I mean, this New York Times article is like four pages long.
Yeah.
Listing all the different mass shootings in the last 5 to 6 years. You know, Newtown's the worst, in my opinion. I mean, not to take anything away from what happened this past weekend.
Of course.
But, I mean, six-year-olds getting shot when they went to school. I mean,
for
me, this should have never happened because they should have reacted when that happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And
which is part of the reason... Why each event seems to get harder.
I want you to start the gun control conversation, Because I'm very angry about it.
Okay.
And I feel like you're a calmer.
Let me give you a context to approach.
So start.
Let me give you a context to approach this in. And the first thing we do, I think you just mentioned it very briefly, is we want to isolate the situation and understand that, you know, although this has become a tendency and this has become a virus or an epidemic in our country, each one should be handled individually. For the individuals in Vegas on Sunday night, this is all that matters. This event, the fact that lives were taken, that the fact that individuals are injured physically and emotionally, and those scars will be a part of them for the rest of their lives. This is an individual moment in time, and we need to honor that mm-hmm. as how important it is to those individuals. So although we're going to look at this in the wider context of other events that have happened, mm-hmm. each one is a tragedy in itself.
Of course.
When one young man or young woman gets shot,
right,
that's a tragedy.
But it's increasingly exactly. more frustrating because they don't act on any of them.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And I did get into a Facebook thing, but it wasn't like an argument. We were just kind of bouncing points off of each mm-hmm. other yesterday. But a friend of mine, actually a friend of a friend, somebody I didn't even know, we shared the same sentiment about gun control. We were talking. And what I'm saying is, you know, gun control is a work in progress, dude.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able. So Vegas happened. And let's just say Trump and the majority of Congress are on board with all these. You're not going to be able to snap your fingers and, you know, tomorrow street guns are off the street.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if we'd have started this process yeah. when Obama wanted to start it, yeah. for example,
yeah.
or even before that, then would this have happened? Yeah. Now, of course, we don't know.
We don't know.
And it's possible that, you know, there could be a lot of gun control okay. measures, and 10 years from now, there could be another mass shooting. Of course.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, does that mean just don't do it? Just don't do anything? Because
we have to make the effort. You know, yeah. we have to do something.
So that's where okay. I have a problem with what you're saying, mm-hmm. because yes, every tragedy is mm-hmm. an individual tragedy, needs to be recognized yeah. as such, so on and so forth. But in other words, if we don't do anything yeah. right now based on Vegas, yeah. and in 5 years somebody goes yeah. to Times Square and kills, you know, what'll be 75 people, yeah. then it'll be the next record.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We should have done something 5 years ago.
What I'm saying is that's where we begin. We begin with honoring the humanity of the event. We begin with reaching out and honoring the individuals who took place in it. So we start with on the human level. But then we start to ask the question, like I think you're really itching to get into. And you're right. The larger situation is there is an epidemic in this country, and it's an epidemic or a virus of gun violence.
Yeah.
And what that really is two epidemics put together. We have a gun problem in this country, a yeah. gun virus, a gun epidemic, and a violence epidemic. Mm-hmm. And really, those are the two ways we answer the two questions we have anytime this happens. The two questions are, why did it happen and how did it happen? First, let's talk about violence. Let's talk about why. What makes an individual knock out a window in a hotel room and begin shooting, spraying a semi-automatic weapon into a large crowd of people? It takes a certain amount of brokenness and detachment. Mm-hmm. All human beings have a natural connection to the world around them because we're humans and we're alive, and therefore we are connected to the world around us. And it takes a certain amount of brokenness and forgetfulness to be able to separate yourself. This is not what we would call an act of passion. If you make me angry and I'm angry at you and I act in a violent way toward you, that's an act of passion because I'm singling you out. This was an act of detachment, meaning he just wanted to kill. He just wanted to inflict pain. He didn't care about who was down there. It all begins with fear. This fear that we have, that's an innate part of our human condition, that grows and festers over time into anger. And when that happens, we want other people to experience the anger we're experiencing. We want other people to suffer when we're suffering.
Right.
And when that happens to a certain degree and the mind breaks down,
right.
it begins to lash out irrationally. So the first question we need to ask, and I'll let you go off of this, the first question is, what makes a human being that violent and that angry and that afraid? What in our culture is causing individuals to break?
I hear you, and I know you're being, in a way, even if you don't mean to be, diplomatic to a certain extent, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah.
Because there's two sides to every story, and
mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Second Amendment's not going anywhere, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, but the guns, we're going to get to the guns in a minute.
Yeah.
That's the second question.
Right. Okay. Well, then maybe you'll take over from what I'm about to say then, because, you know, what I'm saying is that, you know, I had the benefit, for example, of having Paul and Gidget from two other podcasts that live in Australia.
Okay.
I had them on when you were out for your book.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about gun control with them. Let me tell you something, dude. And this is one of many first world countries mm-hmm. that could say this. Australia, I don't remember the name of the quote. They call it something massacre.
Yes.
I think it was
there was a huge, yes, yeah.
But there was a mass shooting where several people perished in a mass shooting in Australia in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had one since because of the gun control that was enlisted after that.
Because, yeah, exactly.
Within a year, the gun control, what they had a buyback program. They took everybody's guns back. And now, or after that legislation was passed, you could only get a gun if you were a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you were in law enforcement.
So if you had a viable reason to own a firearm.
That's it.
Yeah, a practical reason.
Now, Second Amendment people are going to go, ah, fuck, you take my guns away. Ah,
and there's a reason for that.
But I'm just telling you, dude, it is something that is not impossible to fix, but it is a work in progress. Yeah. I've said on this show before, there are more guns in this country than people. So even if you're the most patriotic Second Amendment, pro-Second Amendment person in the world, how can you think that's okay?
Okay, well, let's get into that. Let's get into that. Because, okay, first, because we often half of the debate is the why, like I've been talking about, the mental illness thing. And mental illness is a trajectory. I mean, people break over time. So we need to deal with the inherent violence in this country. And that stems from fear, that stems from separation, and it's everywhere. But let's move over from the why. Like, okay, we need to ask, and I like to ask this question. What makes an individual want to kill? I want to know that. But that's a question we can get into later.
Let's say you can't answer that because you're not his psychologist or whatever. But you can take the accessibility of fucking assault rifles away from
him. So let's get into that. Let's get into the how question, meaning, okay, let's just say an individual is broken and wants to act out in violence. How does he or she do that? How does a person get semi-automatic weapons into a hotel room? How does he or she acquire semi-automatic weapons?
19 of them. He had 19 of them.
Here's the gun problem in this country. Here's the epidemic. That angry people are going to act out angrily. Let's just say this individual wanted to go into the crowd with a lead pipe. He could have hurt some people. Let's just say a knife. Or let's just say, for the sake of argument, he had a handgun or a rifle. Yes, absolutely. But no, he has semi-automatic weapons. And here's the thing. Guns are made for different reasons, for different purposes. We like them because they're cool. We like them for hunt. We like them for self-protection. The reason these instruments of mass destruction, which what they are made, they are made, and I forgot who made this point. I thought it was a brilliant point. I think it was Trevor. A semi-automatic weapon is constructed in order to kill the most amount of people in the shortest of time possible.
Exactly.
They're weapons of war. And the fact
I agree with you 100%.
The fact is, when you give broken people access to weapons of mass destruction, they will cause mass chaos.
Absolutely. I mean, I've said,
and that's the thing. That's the thing. That's what you're trying to get.
I've said on the show before in a joking way, but I mean, now it holds true too. Is like, who needs a fucking assault rifle to go hunt deer?
Yes.
Or to even protect themselves in their home. You can't protect yourself in your home with a standard handgun.
Here's what I think the Second Amendment folks are going to say. And here's the issue.
I can tell you what they're going to say. I can tell you what they have said.
Okay. Let me get you. I'm going to release you into that in just a moment. Right. But here's the thing. Here's what makes it so difficult. And this is what even Australians in other countries, I think, might not understand. But it's part of living in America. It's the exact same problem we have with racism. Racism is ingrained into our culture. And like you said, it's a process and a thing we have to fix over time. But guns are embedded into the culture of America. It's so part of who we are that those, I think, you know, some people want to keep guns to protect themselves. Some people want to keep guns because they hunt, or some people want to keep guns because they think they're cool. I have a family member who collects guns because handguns because he likes firing them at fire ranges.
Now
that's fine. But the reason most people are so afraid to get rid of their guns is because they think guns are tied to freedom. And they think if you take our guns away, you're taking away what it means to be an American.
First of all, the Second Amendment was written in the 1700s.
Exactly. They didn't have assault rifles was written.
Now, you're telling me if George
Washington... You can't buy a tank, can you? You can't buy a nuclear weapon, can you? You shouldn't be able to buy an assault rifle.
You're telling me if George Washington was around today, he wouldn't have made some kind of limitations in that for assault weapons?
You are welcome to bear arms except for a weapon that can kill 59 people
in
10 minutes.
Yeah, he hit almost 600 people in a 10-minute window.
Yeah. So the fact is... I said this yesterday in a post, and I think this is very, very important. I don't let my kids play with guns.
Right.
You know why? Because they're not responsible enough. I'm going to say it. As a society, we have proven we are not responsible enough, and I'm getting emotional, to have semi-automatic weapons. You know, we're just...
No, I mean, you're like I was on Monday, bro.
We're not there yet. We're not ready as a society to have this stuff.
Dude, it's because I agree with you, man. Let me get you a Kleenex, but but I do agree with you. It's very emotional, but it's also very frustrating.
It is. It is.
Because I'm not saying I'm against the Second Amendment.
No.
I'm not saying about... Now, to be frank with you, I wouldn't give a shit if they did.
Yeah.
Because that would fix a lot of
but
this
it's
stuff.
Not, like you said, it's not like we're going to snap our fingers and the guns are go away.
Or, right.
It's not even like that's the solution, because it's not. The solution is saying... Is the how. Like I'm saying, the how. We do not... It's okay, well, we can't give semi-automatic weapons to the mentally ill. Well, where's the line? Look at this man's profile. What told you that he was mentally ill?
Why do we have...
It's a level... mental illness is just it's a mind thing.
Dude, let me just say, the problem is, why do we have so many fucking guns accessible? Because I see what you're doing and making it about the individual that may do the act or whatever.
Or the culture. It's a culture problem.
You just mentioned your family member. I'm not trying to call people out. Well, let's just say your family member snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe something happens and he has some kind of psychological thing where he snaps and he's got a bunch of guns available to him.
All the time.
Why?
Think about your life. How many times have you broken and gotten angry and wanted to hit something?
You know what I'm saying? Why are we making it so easy for people that quote unquote snap or that already have some kind of psychological problems to get these weapons of mass destruction? Why is it so? You're talking about the silencers. Why are they trying to legalize silencers?
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck are you? Imagine if this guy in the 30-second window had silencers.
Yeah.
Because you know the reason they were fleeing was because they heard the shots.
Yeah, exactly.
So now if he's got a silencer and he's shooting a crowd, he's literally can pick people off and they don't know what the hell's going on because they can't hear it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a couple things.
The cops can't find him because they can't hear it.
It's a couple things. One, of course, it's definitely a money thing, of course. I mean, and,
well, of course, the NRA is the devil, you know?
I think what Jimmy Kimmel said, the NRA has a congressman's nuts in a money clip. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
So it's a money thing for one thing because it's a capitalistic thing. But two, like I said, it's a cultural thing. And it's the same thing as racism. Guns and racism are so closely knitted to the fabric of our country. And it makes us want to look in the mirror and go, as Americans, who do we want to be? Do we want to be free? And if we want to be free, does that mean, is freedom really attached to your right to have a weapon? Really? Are you that afraid that you want to arm yourself?
I think freedom more speaks to the fact that you should be able to leave your house and go to a fucking event without fear of getting shot. That's freedom, brother.
That's freedom.
Now,
I should have the freedom to go to a concert.
I don't feel my sense of freedom when I'm afraid to... I mean, I go to sporting events. Yeah. I go to concerts. Yeah. My wife said...
What about that freedom?
My wife texted me on Monday morning when I was fucking sitting in my recliner crying.
Yeah.
She's texting me going, I don't want to be afraid to take Logan out in public.
It's not life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, comma, and semi-automatic weapons. That's a second thought. And you know what? Sometimes you got to amend things. And to go back to the mental illness thing really quick to wrap up thing, it's not just an individual thing. It's a culture thing. And I think we can't ignore that. One, we can't ignore the fact, and I think you're furious about this for a reason. We can't ignore the fact that these kinds of weapons of mass destruction are readily available to whoever wants them. We can't ignore that. I mean, two, we can't ignore the fact that people are breaking, that we have created a culture that's so fucking competitive. That's what capitalism is. You think to be alive, you have to compete with everyone. Mm-hmm. And so it's breaking people. It's not just, I don't want to blame capitalism. It's not just the problem. But people in our country are breaking left and right because of the pressure that we put on each other to be alive. Well, so there's a lot of things to look at here. But you're right. The most practical solution is do not give them access to weapons
and start that altercation of the laws now.
Exactly.
Now, here's what I want to say.
It's a process. Like you said, it's a process. It's going to take time. But like every late night host and every person has said since then, and even proponents of Second Amendment rights, when are we going to start?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So
when are we going to start?
So here's what I want to say to wrap it up, because people on the right and pro Second Amendment people, most of them will fall in one of these buckets. They'll say, you're using tragedy for a political platform. It's not going to change anything because crazy people are still going to get guns. Or it's too soon to talk about it because the bodies are not cold yet.
So what? Too soon to talk about it.
You know what I say? It's not too soon. I mean, it was too late. It was too late for the people that got shot. We should have talked about it after Newtown. Yeah. We should have talked about it after Aurora, Colorado. We should have talked about it after the Charleston church. Yeah. I mean, I had the article pulled
up.
If
my daughter gets angry and punches out a window, I'm going to sit her down right then.
You know,
we're going to have a conversation about how she expresses her anger and what's that doing to her and everyone else. And we're not going to wait. Okay, it's not the time to talk about your anger.
And I know the government's majority Republican right now. The midterms are coming up. This is one of the reasons why it's huge. Same thing with marriage equality and some other things, healthcare. But right now, that's what it is. But another thing, what it's saying to me is it's saying that are guns more important than lives?
Yeah.
Like, I understand the Second Amendment, dude. Okay, yeah. Great. Constitution, yeah, absolutely, sure. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to get into an argument with you about the Constitution. Yeah. But is are guns and the just excess of guns more important than people's lives? Because right now, guns outweigh lives. Not to mention the number of lives that are being taken by those weapons. And so the last thing, and then I'll let you wrap up on the Vegas. Mm-hmm. The last thing that I thought was interesting is last night I saw it. I sent it to you, but you probably didn't have a chance to see it. It was like late last night before I went to bed. So The Onion is a satirical online magazine. Yeah. Basically,
I do know The Onion.
So they do funny articles that, you know, not real news, but like a satirical spin, kind of like what Colbert and all those guys do.
Yeah.
And they had one that they've ran the same article 7 times in the last 5 years. After every mass shooting, they run the exact same article.
Oh my, that's a statement.
The only thing they do is they change the picture of the city or place. So, and you know what the headline is? Quote, "No way to prevent this," unquote, says only nation where this regularly happens. I just want to tell you that.
There you go.
The Onion, a comedic, satirical news organization, can basically regurgitate the mass shooting spoof or whatever you want to call it 2 or 3 times a year. That's a problem, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're pro-Second Amendment. I'm not saying I'm against Second Amendment. Yeah. I'm just saying...
Acknowledge at least that there's a problem.
The Second Amendment is different.
We can agree on that, can't we?
The right to the Second Amendment is different than a guy in a 32nd floor hotel room with 19 assault rifles.
Yeah.
That's not a Second Amendment.
What if he had a rocket launcher? What if he had grenades? The bare arms, grenades are arms. Can I have grenades?
And again, you know, they're talking about this silencer and all this crap. I'm just telling you, and you can put yourself in that situation. If that guy in that roof had a silencer, he could still be shooting people today, for all we know.
Yeah.
I mean, the cops wouldn't have been able to find him.
Yeah.
The people would not have started fleeing because, unless maybe somebody right next to them, because they wouldn't have hurt, the music would have kept playing, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, think of the impact that could have had. And that's something that our current administration and Congress is trying to get past. Yeah. It fucking speaks to the gun problem in this country. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, wrap up on Vegas.
Really quickly.
Last thought on
Really
Vegas.
Quickly. This is not an evil problem. This is a human problem. I don't like using the word evil because it existentializes it and says there's something out there acting on us or something that made me do it. This is a human problem. Human beings are hurting one another. Human beings are lashing out because they're broken. Of course, we need to get on that and say, why are people breaking? Why are we so angry? Why are we so afraid? But also, the simpler issue is, why are we giving these individuals who are broken, I'm going to say it, why are we giving children access to semi-automatic weapons? That's the question.
They're not trained military professionals. They're not law enforcement.
There is an epidemic in this country. It's getting worse. It's not going where. It's time to talk about it. Yeah. It's time to talk about it take action.
Yeah.
And take action.
It's like, you know, too soon. Okay, dude. I guess we'll wait till the next one in 2 years.
Exactly. Which is coming. You know, the next one is coming.
Absolutely. Especially if it's easy.
Angry people will do angry things. Violent people will do violent things. We don't want to give those violent people access to assault rifles.
So listen, we got to make a change, guys. I made a decision that when I post the episode in the show notes, I'm going to put a website that you can go to find your congressman. And you can send them either an email or you can call their office to demand change in gun control legislation. Jimmy Kimmel, as you mentioned, did something earlier similar in his show Monday night. I'll put that in the show notes. Click on it. Find your congressman. At a minimum, send them an email or blow up their phone. We got to do something, guys.
Yeah.
We got to do something. And honestly, it starts with the citizens. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the midterms. If Democrats who are largely against all this, or for gun control, I should say, don't go out and vote, then you got 4 more years of the same bullshit.
Yeah.
They're going to be trying to, you know, legalize silencers and who the fuck knows what else.
And this is and interestingly enough, of course, there's a lot of tragedy in the world. We don't want to undermine the tragedy going on in the world. But I mean, this is an American problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is something that's happening within our borders because of what's happening in our borders. Yep. There's no one outside. There's no evil agent outside making us do this. We are doing this to each other.
All right. Period. Nothing like, thank you for that discussion, Andy. I know it was tough, brother. Yeah. Nothing like... Chris Brayton from More Gooder Than to bring us up.
Yes.
So we're gonna run his his promo real quick. That's our featured pod friend of the week, More Gooder Than. And then when we come back, Andy, we'll wrap up with our final pop culture segment.
Can I pee now?
I
can't pee during this break.
Well, we have to hug, obviously. We gotta make each other feel better after that little Las Vegas discussion there. But yeah, you could pee. You can do whatever you need. Take a poo-poo if you need to. That's what Chris Brayton's here for.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
So we'll run his promo. We'll be right back and we'll wrap things up, Andy.
Sounds good.
Sit tight, my friend.
Hey there, it's Chris from More Gooder Than, where we rate and dissect pop culture one argument at a time. I'm joined by my compadres, Corey Sasso.
What it is, home trees.
And Donnie the Big D Car.
Que mas?
For those of you that would be joining us for the first time, Corey, Donnie, and I each take the side of some piece of pop culture and try and sway the world to agree with our opinions on which one is most goodest, with a 100% money-back guarantee to entertain you in the process. So we've done which is goodest out of the Indiana Jones trilogy.
We've also covered the twin film phenomenon like Armageddon and Deep Impact.
We've also compared and contrasted excellent Bill Paxton performances.
So if that's something that you guys like to enjoy, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and our website, mgtpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, at mgtpodcast. Thanks, and check us out.
Welcome back in, guys. More Gooder Than. I love those guys.
It's More Gooder
Chris
Than.
Chris Brayton, and I know, you guys, you guys heard the interview earlier, but he sounds like John Goodman.
Yeah.
He's John Goodman.
I love John.
More Gooder Than, our featured pod friend of the week. All their information will be in the show notes as well. Make sure you check those guys out. All right, last few items we're going to wrap up on here. Rest in peace, Hugh Hefner. How many Playboys you got under the mattress? What was your favorite month?
You know what the great thing about the Playboy?
I do know the great
But beyond just Hustler and Bigums and Juggums and whatever the other names of them.
Juggums.
Playboy, somehow, check it out. As things have become more and more readily available and become more and more, what you can access on the internet and through magazines and books and videos have become more and more out there and stark and nude. And Playboy somehow has maintained this level of
classiness
and gentleman class.
You know what I want to say, I mean, his impact is...
He's like, you know what, this is the gentleman's magazine. Or the gentlewoman's for the women who like it too.
Hugh Hefner was at the forefront of what would have been called the sexual revolution in the 60s. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he basically changed the culture. Now, some people are going to say it was for the bad, but whatever you want to say, he changed it. And he was at the forefront of, you know, the sexual revolution. I don't know how else to put it.
And the funny thing is... Playboy actually does have good articles and interviews.
They do.
People say, like, I'll read it for the articles. Well, first of all, you have it because there's hot women on it.
Absolutely.
But they have great articles and interviews, too. I think John Lennon did a famous interview in Playboy.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, this guy was...
They do.
You want to say about him, Hugh Hefner was class.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great journalism in Playboy, is what you're talking about, and investigative journalism.
And a high level of...
They interviewed integrity. Politicians, presidents. Yeah, I mean, exactly. They've been all over the place. Celebrities, sports figures.
It's Playboy.
You know, and then they just have naked women in there, too.
They just happen to have...
I mean, if I'm going to read something, and I'm flipping through it, you know.
How many times do you ask yourself, you know what, this is wonderful, this is a great story, a great book. You know what can make this better? A couple of half-naked or fully naked women.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I know, you know...
Or men for you ladies, or, you know,
I know
anybody else?
I know feminists and, you know, people like that. Hugh Hefner's not, you know, painted in a very favorable light because of how he portrayed women and the Playboy Mansion and all that crap. But that's what I'm saying. You can disagree or agree with whatever, his impact on society is huge.
Yeah.
But anyway, he passed away at 91 years old.
91?
The icon, Playboy founder, Hugh Hefner.
Still had, what, 5 girlfriends at the end, I guess?
I think so. I think they were there at the end. That's probably why he died. It's too many women at one time, brother. All right, let's see. A couple of fun things here in pop culture. So, you know the VW bug?
I know the VW bug.
The Volkswagen bug.
Yeah, man.
So, there's something
love
called...
Love the bug.
There's something called the...
Love bug.
There's something called the Gorenje. Which is a special edition refrigerator.
No, don't tell me it looks like a love bug.
That you can get, that the front of the fridge is basically a replica of the front of the VW bug.
That's wonderful.
That's good, right?
That's good. That's really cool. You can get one.
Well, I would, but...
Is it really nice? Is it like...
It looks really cool.
Because, you know, some refrigerators nowadays, they talk to you, they have different
functions.
This
is just vintage. It just looks like the front of a VW.
Vintage fridge. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you going to get one?
The VW station wagon. Did I say bug?
Yeah, I think it's the station wagon.
It comes in maroon, aqua, and yellow.
Which one are you getting?
I can't. It's only in Germany right now.
Oh, what?
So I can't get one.
The Germans.
But there's a cool little video I sent you on it. And you guys should look it up. The Gorenje.
The Gorenje.
Refrigerator.
Is that a German word?
Gorenje.
I should have looked up what that means.
I think it's ya.
Listen, dude, we're talking about Trump all the time.
We've
mentioned this on our show before, but it kind of crept its way out into the media again this week that Oprah Winfrey floating a little.
Goodness.
People really want her to run for prez, right?
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, dude. I mean, first of all, a woman, if a woman was going to win the presidency, Who was more qualified than Hillary Clinton on her resume? Secretary of State.
Politically and as far as understanding the way the country works?
Yeah. No one. Yeah, now, is she bright on Gmail? Maybe not. But but politically, okay. I mean, nobody, man or woman, was more qualified than Hillary Clinton on her political resume. Yeah. So that's one. She didn't get elected.
Yeah.
Okay. Trump beat her. So you can say whatever you want to say. You're not going to tell me Trump was more qualified for office as president.
Yeah.
But Oprah, let's see how it started here. Yeah. So Winfrey sparked some speculation on Thursday because a New York Post journalist did an article on Oprah.
Okay.
And the title of the article was Democrats' Best Hope for 2020 is Oprah.
Interesting.
And she responded.
Maybe half of a joke, maybe half serious. You know.
And she responded saying, thanks for your vote in all caps. And then ... of confidence.
Ah!
So,
oh, no, I don't think.
She's kind of like playing around a
little
bit there.
I don't think Oprah would run. And I don't think The Rock's going to run. I'm a little wary of, you know, one of the main things that was my... not complaint, but yeah, complaint about Donald Trump is that his lack of what's the word I'm looking for? Experience.
I don't know.
That's a good
lack
word.
Of experience, yeah.
Just because someone is good at something and popular and has a strong voice and is, I mean, Oprah Winfrey. I mean, my goodness, I mean, that's a pop culture icon,
right.
And very important to you know what we are today. But just because they're good at that doesn't mean they'll be a good political leader.
Yeah, that's the thing about her and The Rock and everything, and Trump too. Honestly,
exactly.
I mean, everything else.
I want something who understands who.
Yeah, let's fix some stuff here. Other words, you can't. I don't want somebody. I love Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love The Rock. I fucking adore The Rock.
Yeah.
But I don't want somebody coming in that has a learning curve of 4 years.
Exactly.
It's gonna take them 4 years to learn how to do the job.
I want this. I want a balance between someone who understands the political machine, therefore knows how to wield it, but also someone who sees beyond the political machine, who can take it forward.
And that's what I'm saying. To me, now I was always a Bernie guy, but to me, that's why Hillary made sense. And I know that lock her up people aren't gonna like that. But I mean, that's why she should have won. She knew what the hell she was doing.
Yeah.
She had a giant amount of experience in the world of politics.
Yeah.
And she could be, I mean, I don't think.
Talk about experience. Exactly. She knew what she was
more
doing.
More shit would be getting done.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. All right. Last thing, and then I'm going to throw it for a little bit.
Okay.
Trying to keep us on our new format here of 60 minutes.
Where we at? Where we at time-wise, homie? How we doing? We doing okay?
We got it like 4 minutes left.
Yes.
All right. So last thing I want to mention, Miss Piggy has moved on from Kermit.
Oh, all no, right. Not Piggy.
They're broken up, brother.
No.
It got announced on Twitter.
Oh, the sweet sounds of love.
So Betty. So Betty Cooper from the television program Riverdale.
Okay.
Just a random tweet tweeted out, "Dear Diary, I'm still thinking about how Miss Piggy walks all over Kermit and he lets her. It's so messed up." Just
interesting.
Miss Piggy responded.
No, she didn't.
Miss Piggy goes.
Miss Piggy tweets.
Miss Piggy goes. Quote. Tell
I thought
your,
she oinked.
tell your diary that I have moved on from walking over the frog. I'm looking for someone new. You got Cole Sprouse's number? Cole Sprouse is a co-star on Riverdale.
Okay. All
and right. Cole Sprouse responded to the chain. He said, "Ladies, please." I mean, this is great, right?
Okay, yay or nay? You like the Muppets?
I do. I love them.
Love the Muppets.
Love
Take Manhattan. One of my favorites.
But I mean, if Miss Piggy and Kermit break up, the world something's wrong in the world, brother. Well, you got to fix it. You got to fix this.
Especially since
this needs to be right under gun control.
Especially since they're fictional characters and someone's writing the romance.
Be,
let them stay together.
Yeah, this has got to be right under gun control like that, and then Miss Piggy and Kermit. I mean, we got to figure this shit out, brother. Healthcare would probably be before it. I don't know. Let's see. All right, you ready for your loop, man?
I am.
All right, throw Andy for a loop every week, guys. It usually goes with what we're talking about, unless a fan submits it, which I didn't ask for any this week.
Bring it on.
What cartoon character,
okay,
would you love to hang out with for a day?
Bugs Bunny.
Okay, you know what? That's a good one.
Okay.
And you don't even have to explain it. Would that not be the greatest?
And that's just the thing.
You just be pranking people.
That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one.
Well, I picked two.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny, I just think you'd have the craziest adventures. And you know what? Bugs always comes out on top. So you don't have to be afraid because if you're with Bugs, you're coming out on top.
Yeah, that's true.
Bugs Bunny.
And I picked two because I thought you might say Bugs Bunny.
What?
So we matched. He was mine as well. But the second one I picked was Jessica Rabbit. Do I need to explain why?
I don't think so.
She's very smart. She's got a lot of conversation I could have with her about her experience in life.
But she's married to a rabbit.
She's a great singer.
She's married to a rabbit. Do you think you could really satisfy her like a rabbit?
Well, you know what?
Can?
You could be with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
I could have Jessica Rabbit. Yeah. We could bring them together, brother.
Yeah.
A little matchmaking situation.
I'm just saying.
She likes rabbits.
Yes.
Yeah, she likes the hoppers.
Yes.
Are you ready for your final thought?
Yes.
We got deep there with Vegas. Mm-hmm. This is a new format. Yes. We're right at 60 minutes. We're going to be on time.
Yes.
Let's give your final thought, Andy. Okay. I'm going to bring back Tom Petty for you because I know that might inspire you a little bit. Give the peeps your final thought on episode 45.
Check it out. In a way, we all are children. In a way, we all are learning. We're learning as a society. We're learning as individuals who make up larger societies. We're learning as a global environment. We're moving forward. But we need to be humble enough. We need to be humble enough to understand that we don't have all the answers. And we need to work together to move forward. And even though we have these sacred documents like the Constitution and the Bible, we need to move beyond ourselves and learn how to treat each other and learn how to give and learn how to love. And, you know, just look at each other as children and ask yourselves, how can I give today? How can I learn today? And how can we grow as a society today?
I love it, Andy. As always, thank you. If nothing else, making me and the four people that listen regularly feel better.
No problem.
I appreciate it. That's episode 45.
45!
I want to know what you guys thought of the new format, so hit us up.
A small record.
It is a record. Absolutely. I'm going to put all the information in the show notes every week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time filling the airwaves with how to find us. You know how to find us if you listened and if you downloaded today, which we appreciate.
You found us. Congratulations.
Which we appreciate. You can look in the show notes to refer to our Facebook, Twitter, Patreon if you want to donate to the show. You can subscribe via Apple Podcasts and you can go to our website and all that other stuff. It'll be in the show notes for you. Andy, until next week, brother, when we hit up 46.
Okay.
I know you'll be as beautiful as you are today next week.
Probably more so.
I love you, man.
I love you.
I'll see you next week.
I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.